Hello, everyone, and welcome to a deeper dive on Someday's Lane Kingdom. I am here with the man himself, Papa Smithy, the general manager of 100 Thieves. How are you doing today, Papa?
I'm feeling good, Isaac, Azael, whichever one we're going with here. We'll go with
whatever
Azael.
You want.
I'm feeling good. It's definitely a topic near and dear to my heart, talking about the kind boy, so no complaints from me.
Yeah, I mean, he was an absolute monster for you guys in spring. You know, without a doubt, one of the strongest top laners in the league. He was really the only person that people were even arguing for to be on the first team all LCS, you know, besides the Cloud9 players. You know,
that was kind of the story there, right?
Exactly, right? You know, that was kind of the big debate. He did end up getting a second all team, you know, I'm sure much to your chagrin, but
mistakes obviously, happen, it's fine. I understand.
Obviously had a great year. And I was lucky enough to do a Lane Kingdom on him, which you just watched earlier. So we wanted to bring you in to talk a little bit about how it is to work with him, how it is to have a star like this on the team, and really, you know, what it's like, you know, being involved with this guy. And mm-hmm. I wanted to start really kind of bigger picture. Sure. Obviously, last year in summer, he was on the Academy roster. You know, it was kind of like a joke in the community, you know, that he's boosting Academy, you know, he's smurfing in Academy, you know, and people all still talked about him as an LCS caliber player. It's just that, you know, maybe he didn't fit in the roster. You know, there's only a certain amount of import slots and things weren't working, so you changed it up. But coming into spring of this year, did you always know that you wanted Someday on the roster?
I think the true answer to that is that when it came to the roster building, it was pretty clear early in the piece before anything was cemented that we were going to go in the direction of one of our 2019 imports. Like Someday or Bang was going to be a player we were going to build around. And then it was very much understanding what pieces around Someday in the top or Bang at the AD carry position could we draw to 100 Thieves were available, you know, with their contracts being up. Trade options. Very much it was kind of understanding what was the strongest five-man roster with an identity that we could field, you know, so, and it's not a reflection of either of their individual qualities, like both Someday and Bang, obviously fantastic players, both of them. Second All-Pro team, right, was Bang as well. So the quality there, I think, is really clear, but I know I never had any reservations about working with Someday because he ended up in Academy. Like you say, that was very much about a roster build rather than his individual quality. I think there were definitely people around that had their hesitations because 2019 hadn't been a year to write home about. And I remember when he played his first game of LCS this split, they put up his Academy stats and they're like unbelievable, right?
Yeah, it was
like,
he won, what, 11 out of 13 games, something like that.
But it was like 25 CSD at 15. Like, just like insane numbers where you're like, come on, what happened here? You know, you put that through a lens and you're like, okay, what does that mean now that he's going back against that higher caliber in the LCS? But yeah, it definitely wasn't set in stone early. Mm-hmm. My viewpoint was when you have a superstar player, it needs to make sense in your roster. I don't want to have a superstar just because it's nice to have. It needs to be, I feel like this player, we can field a roster that will get the most out of them. And in general, the whole roster is stronger for them being on the team rather than just like this player is here by happenstance. So he was actually kind of one of the last people that were firmed on the roster. But the moment that it became pretty clear that we could attract the talent around Someday that would bring out the most in him, that's where it was clear that, of course, I would love to work with Someday. I think every GM would love to have Someday on that team.
That's so interesting. So you actually, you know, got him as kind of one of the last pieces. You built a team that you thought would maybe fit him. And then when you saw, hey, this would actually be great if we have Someday, that's when you actually secured Someday. So you kind of...
So basically it was like, what does a Bang roster look like? And what does a Someday roster look like? And what pieces are around? And obviously, even when you have a first pass at that, the next day, these players are available. The next day, one of the pieces that you thought would fit there isn't interested in joining your team. Like, there's always all those variables, right? And we were coming into an off season where we had a lot of expiring contracts as well. So it's not like, well, we definitely have these three guys that we're going with. Which two do we go with from there? There was a lot up in the air. So there was a lot of kind of, I guess by the end it was crisis meetings, but before that it's planning meetings. And there was a lot of phone calls and kind of understanding of what roster could be fielded. So I would say that when some teams kind of had four or five players locked in, we were still, here are our two different kind of like futures, like the sliding doors premise of like, are we going down this door? Are we going down that door? Mm-hmm. So it very much was that scenario where there needed to be dominoes that fell. And the first official player that we had committed was Meteos. And I think that was the moment where it was like, wait, Meteos someday, like that sounds like the top side that could work. And people will talk about kind of the 2018 example of that working, but a lot changes in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. The player you were 2 years ago isn't necessarily going to be the player that you are 2 years later. So it was very much just a kind of, all right, so Meteos is bought in and he's coming in before we even had all the other pieces secured. What is going to be our win condition next year? What is going to be strategies that work? And I think Meteos someday is the sort of thing that leapt off the page. It's like, all right, if that's a core, that's something you can build around. And I mean, you and I have talked about kind of roster build ideas. I came mm-hmm. to Worlds and was like, man, a lot's up in the air. And like, yeah. We got some crazy stuff on the table. And I think when you're able to actually start to firm on a direction and you have the pieces around it that will bring something out of that, that's when suddenly you feel a lot better about the direction you're going in.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And obviously, you know, it did work out for you guys. You guys had a fantastic split, you know, did very well in the regular season, especially when you take in consideration, you know, these young players that you're developing. So something I know I'm pretty curious about then is once you have, you know, someone or this pairing on the top side and you have this superstar on someday and you know that's the direction you want to take, you know, what are some of the considerations that you're having as far as, okay, what else do we need to make this work? Is this a player that you're looking at? All right, he's the win condition, so everyone else needs to be the supporting cast. Or is this something where you're thinking more, all right, he can shore up weaknesses elsewhere, or he can make it so that we don't need to put resources there and we can win in other ways?
I think that's a very multifaceted question. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the goalposts change. Like if, for example, you look at the first round robin, a lot of our team's setups and approach to games, drafts, in general, like a lot of what we were doing was still, our identity was still being formed. We struggled in the first round robin. We only put up 3 wins. We weren't convincing in some of those wins. And I think that was definitely a case where someday was able to compensate for some of our kind of growing pains when it came to actually integrating some newer players, players who were used to different systems into a new system, because we didn't even have the through line of a head coach, right? We had Zix coming in and he's an experienced coach who approaches the game in a specific way. We have players coming from different rosters. Nobody was on the LCS team last year. So a lot's up in the air, a lot's being developed. And we were definitely trying to take a let's develop to be a good team rather than like, how can we optimize for as many wins as possible now, which mm-hmm. not every team has the latitude from higher up, even higher up than GM to approach like that. So as we were tripping and falling on stage, especially in the start, that was when there were definitely some games where somebody was doing, wearing a lot of hats, you know, where he was able to have a raid boss performance, but also able to take on so much of the in-game responsibility. And that's where, you know, the narrative started coming up of like someday 1v9, right? Which mm-hmm. I'm on
he
the
had
team
some pretty
side
monstrous
now.
Games.
And he had some pretty monstrous games. And like obviously on the team side, you want it to be, you know, equal contribution very much. And it was that in the build up and in the scrims, but on
but not
stage,
always in the execution.
On stage, exactly. In one game, right? Like you always have one game pop-offs. And definitely while we were developing our onstage dimensions, someday was truly able to kind of reach a level where I started talking about kind of like stage someday. And that's where suddenly this mild-mannered, you know, really kind, very soft-spoken guy, you know, you wouldn't
he's
know
a monster.
From
the beast
monster.
Unleashed.
He's the beast unleashed, sure.
Yeah, and that's it's pretty amazing because he did have those performances and was able to carry you guys through, you know, some games where it was more of a struggle, right? And things obviously started to gel later on in the season. But it's always interesting to me to hear, you know, kind of the different sides, right? There's always like almost three sides to the stories. There's kind of like the coaches and the management, and then there's the, you know, the fans and the kind of outside audience, and there's the player story, right? And how everyone sees these players can be so different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how is that working with someday? Do you guys have the same vision? Was that just something that clicked? Or is it something like, you know, a little bit more difficult, that had to be worked at, where he feels that, hey, this is the best way to use me, and you guys are thinking maybe something else?
So it's a very complex topic again, just because I think for a long time.
They always are.
Sure. And now I've got all the context, right? It's not me as a caster trying to spitballing.
Yeah.
It's having kind of seen how the food was made in some ways. To talk about that, I think it's important to understand that, you know, when Someday came over from Korea in 2017, you know, he came over at the end of 2016. I'm very confident in saying that I think he is the player who was closest to being best in his role in the world that came to North America. Like, he was a top three, arguably, I would say top three, some people maybe say top four, top lane in the world when he came over. And it was a really big get for the LCS, you know, joined Dignitas at the time. And obviously spoke no English. His personality, like, he is actually someone who's always been pretty active on social media as a Korean player, and like very much cared about his standing with the fans, and like very much was in touch with his emotions. The kind boy stuff there is very kind of on point to what he's like. And then comes to North America with no English. And obviously that was, you know, very, very hard for him. And so I think a lot of those experiments with imports that didn't speak English in those days, it was very much, well, he's a really good player and he'll smash his lane. And you couldn't really ask for more or get more, right? Because the language barrier to how the game played out, like, he spoke the language of League of Legends for sure, exquisitely talented player. Yeah. But you kind of had to be like, let's have him do his thing. Let's have him be a warrior.
Run down side lane.
You run down the side lane and like, you'd love more, but like, we'll take that, right? But the game has evolved so much from there. You know, one of the things I've talked about is when I was building rosters for the first time, I looked at a world final where game one was Nautilus mid versus Pyke mid, and the game was clearly about moving and not just the individual lane.
You had to be
communication and being part of something. And I think what you saw this year was the fact that Someday's English has now developed to the point where no longer is language something that holds him back. Like, his English is much more than conversational. And one of the things that I've loved is kind of talking to players who were there 2 years ago and who are there now, like Medios and Cody obviously left the org, came back, but they worked with him during the last time the 100 Thieves had a lot of success in that spring season especially. And they're kind of commenting on, I see him smiling so much, and like, he can understand the memes. Like, obviously Medios is a meme machine. Like, he can understand what's going on around him, and like, he can have like dry humor. He can have like, you know, storytelling. Like, he definitely now has the ability to fully integrate. And that's the thing that we see from him, is the fact that he can be so much more active about what he wants, what he needs, but also how, like, you know, speaking to a rookie like Ryoma, like, understanding kind of like passing down his theories of how games should be played out and how resources should be called for and things like that. Like, the ability for him to integrate and work as part of the whole, and like in every kind of like post-game review and in every kind of pre-game and draft meeting, communicate nuances, is something that, you know, I couldn't know the level that would transpire to be. And it's something that I think is really clear. So to your question about what he asked for, it's an interesting one, because I think he's a different top laner than some others, in that to me, he's a power pick top laner. Like, he doesn't need the hard counter pick to be relevant. He doesn't even necessarily.
All his Aatrox games showed that.
Right. He loves the Aatrox.
Yeah.
And he loves, like, this champion is self-sufficient and can carry games and can initiate. It can kind of do everything, kind of like how Ornn has like seven subgenres right now because of what he's about.
Yeah.
I think he's equally happy to do that than he is to Lucian and Gangplank and slam people. And to have someone who's pretty much down for whatever fits the draft, but also able to blind pick champions that others kind of stay away from and deal with counter picks, like, it's definitely a blessing to have someone who's pretty much down to slam in kind of any scenario you throw him into.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the ideal situation. You know, and sometimes you'll hear people talking about a player who, you know, is too willing to sacrifice themselves, is too willing to give to the team, you know, when they're someone who, given the resources or given that ability to counterpick, can take over a game. So it's good to hear that he is able to kind of do both sides. And, you know, even from the outside perspective, I've seen his development and seen him tweeting about, you know, all of the English lessons that he's been taking and how hard he has worked on those things. Because as you say, nuance in League of Legends is incredibly important, even given, you know, the like win by yourself role. If you're talking about, all right, we're going to pick you for a run down the side lane until you win or lose the game, you still need to be able to communicate with the team what you need from them to allow you to succeed, whether it's vision or collapsing or covering you on recalls or ganks and these different things. And it's good to hear that he has, you know, kind of reached that. And I do think that we are seeing more of that. You know, even in the Lane Kingdom episode, you can see some of the communication, the teamwork between your team around vision and tracking the Lee Sin as you know, they're trying to obviously punish this Aatrox who's slamming their Camille and working with Meteos to be able to pull off these dives in a coordinated manner. So, you know, you can see that development, I think, both in game and it's good to hear about it outside as well.
And it's the buy-in, because you can understand another version of Spring where we continue to struggle and then we've all seen superstar players, especially imports, who when the results aren't there, and at some point we were 3-6 or 3-7, mm-hmm. I forget. Like you can kind of understand, like, oh, okay, I guess like this is our level, and I guess I can't make that individual change. And I'm sure at times in his past, the lack of English just kind of held him back from maybe having as big of a say in kind of direction things. But to his credit, the amount that he's been bought in and doing things that are over and above just kind of play good League of Legends, which we know that someday he's going to do, left to his own devices, upskilling younger players, like really mentoring Ryomo over the course of the split and kind of guiding him through some of the time that there was obviously struggles, both in terms of his own confidence and in general, getting on top of his gameplay, being a part of the day-to-day. Like we were very much a program that was open about, it's not about where we start, it's about how much we can improve, and we'll take kind of whatever finish and retool for the future. And I think the fact that we exceeded a lot of people's expectations and first made playoffs and then finished third in the regular season was the fact that someday alongside the other cast was able to remain bought in and remain improvement focused. Like whether it was a scrim loss or a scrim victory or a stage loss or a stage victory, he was bought into the process and saw the same things we saw rather than just play his character and then kind of zone out from there. And that's something that I hold a lot of respect for him for, because he was definitely the one who was there and with a performance that we wanted to see very early in the split. And he both maintained that and dragged other people up. And that's something that I think you can't know till you work with someone, how they are in scenarios like that. And it just gives you that confidence. You know, we could always have those conversations where you meet with the coaches and you're like, well, this still needs work and this direction still needs things. But when those things get there and we're confident they're going to get there, we also have this piece that's really working. And I think that's what eventually we came away with in spring season.
I mean, I think it's really impressive to hear that, because you can very easily go the other way. When the team only is picking up three wins in the first half, you know, you can say, all right, well, I'm just going to do well individually and protect my contract, protect, you know, my reputation, and, you know, screw the team. They're not going to win anyway, right? You know, is that something that you guys had to push him towards, though? Because it sounds like he's pretty, you know, naturally stepping into what is really a leadership role, right? You know, to be able to level up the team. Is that just his hunger and his determination to win, knowing that, you know, it's not just about me. I have to make this team better if we're going to win.
I think that's an interesting thing to reflect on. Like, you look at the fact that, A, he was happy to continue with the team after being benched. You know, he understood the context around why that happened in 2019 summer. So for him to come in strong from the start already was a good sign. I think he also appreciates what we all do now, that you can't do the true 1v9. Like, yes, there were games in the first round, Robin, where like his exceptional performance kind of got us a win. But the thing is that maybe that gets you a win. Maybe it gets you two. Arguably, it gets you three if you look at our results. But that can't be your only strategy for a split. And I guess that's where kind of like the fact that by week 9 and 10, people only came away with it's someday 1v9 kind of was the part where I was like, wait, like, surely you understand that if enemy team only has to prep for top lane carry or top lane counterpick, they're going to be able to do that. Like, yeah, you actually need everybody around pulling their weight in order to succeed in League of Legends in 2020. Really, the individual agency to carry, in my opinion, has never been lower. It really is about you get what you can get, but then splash that onto your jungler, splash that onto a team fight, whatever it happens mm-hmm. to be. And I think that's something that he understood, and he didn't need prompting to want to at all times expand his lead through team play, because top lane is an island in some sense, for sure. And definitely when you're getting like zoned off the turret for the fourth time as Ornn waiting for your level 13, definitely feels like that at times. But
team game.
He didn't need too much centering, you know? Like, I think he always had the right things, the right variables being weighed. And this is a player who I remember playing pro games when he was 16 years old, like before there was even like the 17-year age requirement, 15, 16. I watched him playing games for KT in 2013, like January, February. Like, he has been around a very long time. Despite being 23 years of age, he's like as elder a statesman as possible when it comes to the gameplay. So he's definitely been around for a really long time and kept his level to his credit for a really long time. So the moment that the English and kind of the cultural differences no longer becomes like a really acute variable like it is now, where he really is there, you just get to trade upon someone who's a pleasure to work with and who can pull off some very impressive things in the Rift.
Yeah. So when you have a player like this, you know, we've talked a bit about him as a person and in the building of the team, but what are some of the considerations that then have to go into utilizing him to the best ability in game? Right. You know, there's obviously, you know, multiple schools of thought. People sometimes look at his top laner and they say, all right, well, you know, it's top lanes on an island. Just use this guy to shore up weakness. We're just going to blind pick him and then we'll still try to win through bot or do these other things. You know, and there's considerations of, do you play to the strength of the player or the, you know, common kind of route in the meta? If everyone's playing Ornn, you're still going to go towards this guy. You know, is he a player that, you know, does shape a lot of what you are trying to do in game?
I think when we were still striving towards getting our systems where we wanted to, as I've talked about, I think obviously it was kind of like, let's make sure Someday has the right pick, and let's make sure, like, if Someday's AD, maybe the jungle's AP, so that we can't just itemize into one resist type to take him down. I think those were the sort of conversations where we just need to, like, if you really need the win, then I think optimizing that way in the short term makes sense. I think as the season went on and we finally started to getting all of our other pieces where we wanted them to, it was much more about, like, if the draft makes sense and Someday can prosper from it, great, we know we can do that. And if the draft makes sense and Someday has to take sacrifices from it, we know we can do that too. So it gave us the flexibility to open up. But to your point, it also gave us something to optimize towards. Because at the end of the day, with the Drakes on such a short cooldown, you know, 5 minutes respawn timing and things like that,
and Soul being such a big win condition,
you can optimize around top if certain variables and certain champions are either banned or nerfed and stuff. Like, yes, you can optimize around top, but you can't just be a top team, as in a top focused team. You have to be able to diversify. So I think when the variables get to that point, when you're in the second round, you're like, wait, we can set this up in a certain way to really get the most, then absolutely, you have that extra level of confidence, right? You feel buoyed by the fact that you know Someday is a blue chip player. But I think when it comes to what else you look from him, it's a lot about kind of fine tuning communication. It's a lot about being able to manipulate his wave to be in the right position for a cross map play and respectful to what other things can happen there. And he doesn't need a lot of direction on those things, but those are the things you're training to make sure that he's equally going to be able to prosper regardless of what the game plan going in is.
I mean, it's something that's incredibly valuable to have a player that, you know, isn't always reliant on the counter pick, but has this record, has this proven track record of, hey, if you give me the opportunity, I will slam you with this, because then that's a consideration that the other team is always going to have to watch out for in draft. That's bans that sometimes have to be thrown that way. That's, well, I'm not sure if I want to actually blank pick GP here because he has Lucian ready, you know, and those are things that sometimes can go unseen, but create large advantages and can really change kind of the landscape in a game.
Yeah, and it kind of gives resources to other players, right? Because if they're really super focused here and we have other pieces that are developing, theoretically, it's a bit of training wheels that as things go on and things go on, the moment that you have to put bans elsewhere, someday it's going to prosper even more.
Yeah. So how quick are you guys? You know, because one of the things that I always find really fun is when I can listen to comms or hear really good teams play, you know, and when someone is having a really good game, they're like, okay, this is what you need to do, and then I'll win the game. You know, is that something that, you know, happened a lot with you guys and some of those, you know, incredible carry performances, right? You know, is it something where the team is able to quickly pivot and say, all right, someday it's just stomping this guy. Maybe that wasn't the win condition going in, but when your Aatrox has 5 kills, guess what? That's the win condition now.
I think that's the stage someday that I kind of whispered about is there's definitely games where this guy who's pretty soft-spoken, you know, he can obviously get to a normalized level in comms, but when it is one of those games where like he understands that he's the primary win condition that time, then it's suddenly very clear, loud, like just the general loudness is really apparent there. And it is very much his ability to, maybe atypical to some top laners, I haven't worked with that many as closely, but he's really able to kind of open up any kind of like lane focus to being a map focus and talking about what he's able to do, what he can set up for. You know, in 3 waves time, I'm going to be able to, I'm going to start stacking a wave and I'm going to be able to do this with this. So make sure we have the right vision set up for it. There's definitely those future comms that when they play out, it's like, what an elegant team move. But when it's a top laner, often it's going to be them directing it, right? Because they're the ones that have to look for the teleport and things like that. And there definitely is times where you hear that and you kind of see a plan come together. And in general, if he feels confident enough to ask for resources, then you're definitely going to trust the guy who's clearly able to pay them off as well. So it's not every game, you know, sometimes he's just enduring, right? But when the variables are set up, yeah, it's definitely comms that you want to listen to if you're like an aspiring top laner and want to level up your craft in the team game.
Yeah, and it's something that I would think would kind of build that faith in him, right? If he's not always calling for it, if he knows the right moment to do it, then you build that trust as a team in knowing, all right, someday knows when he's going to be able to take over the game. Someday knows when he's in that position and we need to, you know, follow him then, follow those calls.
And it's that extra bit where there's an argument where it's like, but we already knew that. Like, you already know he's a good player. Like, he'll probably be a good player for many years to come. You know, I watch scrims and he's in like a counter matchup and he's winning it. And I'm like, I guess it's just someday things. I don't know how you effortlessly win this matchup. But it's the fact that now it's more than just let him have the pick he wants. It'll work out one way or the other. Now it really is let him have a big say in kind of the picks and directions he wants to go into and have a big effect on the overall game state and communicating and drafting and all the systems around the game. And have a voice in, say, maybe 2 other areas of the map or having an intense discussion about the right play to do. We can also tap into our Korean superstar top laner to have an impact there. And his buy-in is there. It's so much more than just, wow, someday's a good player. Like, it really is his contribution to the team. Like, everyone's got things to level up on, and Chano is no different. Like, there are definitely things that he would look back on. I'm sure he looks back on the playoffs and is kind of unhappy that he couldn't replicate the dominance of the regular season. But at the end of the day, he had way more to give than I expected, and he someday, we already knew he had a lot to give, right? So that's what you come away with from working with this level of superstar. And I'm sure when you hear a lot of players who worked with Bjergsen, you know, no one's going to be quick to kind of chime in with negatives. They're always talking about his drive and all of the things that he brings. I think now I've had the chance to work with Someday, a player of very similar stature in terms of his kind of legacy to the game. And you definitely, you know that you have a piece that everyone else on the team is looking at and being like, I can learn something from this guy. You know, whether you're a player who's been around a long time like Medios or a rookie like Ryoma, like there's always something to learn from the real top players in the game.
I mean, I think that's extremely exciting for Someday fans, for 100 Thieves fans, you know, to hear that it's not just about the individual skill that this player is bringing now. It's about, you know, more of the complete package. The fact that he's leveled up his communication, that he's integrating himself into the team in a way that perhaps 2 years ago he was unable to do so.
Danger is that you keep challenging him, right? Because now that he's shown an aptitude for it, you always want more and more. And there are just some days where I look at Chano, like after scrims are done, and like he's mentally exhausted from speaking in English for so long, and he has to, you know, being challenged to speak more and challenged to give more. Like, there's definitely days where like he just needs to go home and veg out, right? And that's the danger of showing that you've got more than just I can click my buttons pretty good. Is that we keep asking for more, for sure, from the time boy.
Yeah, you know that he's got that big brain. Now you're going to tap into it, drain him for everything he's got. All right. Well, thank you so much, Papa Smithy, for taking the time to come talk to us about Someday.
Pleasure.
Obviously, a very exciting player. You guys got to check out the Lane Kingdom episode. It's him slamming on Aatrox against Soaz and Camille. It's going to be a banger. And Papa Smithy, again, 100 Thieves GM, any shout outs that you want to do?
Shout outs to our sponsors. We've got JBL, NZXT, JBL headset, very nice here. Chipotle, Totino's, Rocket Mortgage, and Cash App. So thank you very much to all those partners. And thank you to Someday and the entire team, because it's definitely something where a lot of people have reduced us to only Someday. And obviously this piece is largely about his excellence and celebrating him. But turns out that if we are going to have a rapid ascent, and if we are going to stay at the top, it is going to be about everybody else and the push and pull of everybody being able to have their own carry agency. And we started to get there at the end of spring. Summer's coming. Worlds is on the radar. So I hope people are talking about Someday in summer, but selfishly, I hope they're talking about the other guys as well.
Well, everyone's going to have their eyes peeled for 100 Thieves when we come back for a summer to watch the development of not only Someday, but the entire squad. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on, and we will see you guys next time.